Jesus Christ deposed sin from its universal dominion. He dethroned it, made it possible for sinners to be saints. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That reading of Romans 8, verses 1 through 4 teaches that the Christian is free in Jesus Christ. He is no longer dominated by sin, nor legislated by law codes. His is not a freedom to sin, but a freedom not to sin. Romans 8, 2 states in a single sentence the basis for Christian freedom, saying, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death." That's really a restatement of Romans chapter 7, verses 24-25, that deliverance from the dominion of sin working through the flesh is found in Jesus Christ our Lord. The law to which reference is made in the law of the Spirit of life and the law of sin and death does not refer to the Mosaic legislation, which is recorded in the Holy Scripture. Law means a regulative principle that exercises control over one. The Bible speaks of the law of the mind, the law of sin, the law of God, the law of the husband in relation to his wife, the law of Moses, and the law of the Spirit of life. It refers to the authority and regulation exercised by each. The Spirit of life refers to the Holy Spirit, whose presence brings life and whose power sustains life. There is no spiritual life apart from the presence of the Spirit of God. For eternal life is not something which God gives apart from Himself. It is the life of God lived in the human spirit and physical body of the person who is trusting Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life because He is our life. He is called the Spirit of life in that life is particularly His own possession and gift. He is the Spirit whose very life is manifest in Christians. And that's why Paul would say that he was no longer alive personally, but that Christ lived in him. Because the life of God so surpasses the mortal life of man that it is God's life which is our life in Jesus Christ. The authority of the Holy Spirit has made us free from the authority of sin and death formerly exercised over us. To be free means to be liberated, emancipated, loosed, and unfettered. It is to be delivered from all the power of indwelling sin. A grammatical form is used here which indicates that God set us free once for all in time past, that is, at our conversion experience. The authority of sin is no longer exercised in the life of the believer. It can only produce death. But the Christian is alive in Christ with the life of God lived in him by the Holy Spirit. So he's free from the authority of sin and death. The law of Moses could never effect such a deliverance. Verse 3 speaks of what the law could not do. Now what was it the law was powerless to effect? The law codes could never break the power of sin in us. It could condemn wrong actions, but that just left us as powerless to do any better. It could not overcome sin in us. But the fault is not that the law was weak. The problem is that the flesh was too weak to keep the law. The law demanded what human nature could not provide. A grammatical form is used here which indicates that the flesh keeps on being weak. You see, the flesh will never be able to live a holy life. But God took the initiative. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Now that statement reveals four great truths concerning Jesus Christ. One, the pre-existence of Jesus is indicated in God sending Him into the world. See, He did not begin His existence at the birth to Mary. He was the second person of the Holy Trinity eternally. Second, the deity of Jesus is indicated in that he is called God's own Son. He was and is the only and eternally begotten Son of God. Third, the incarnation of Jesus is indicated by the statement that he came in the likeness, but mind you, not in the nature, of sinful flesh. And fourth, the atonement by Jesus Christ is indicated by his being sent for sin. The preposition for indicates he came to remove sin, destroy sin, atone for sin. The result is that he condemned sin in the flesh. What does that mean? It means Jesus broke the claim and authority of sin over man. Now you think of that. The incarnation of Jesus broke the universal dominion of sin over man. Until he came in human nature, every person was a sinner by nature and by choice and by act. But Jesus was sinless. No longer did sin exercise universal dominion over the human race. The death of Jesus broke the power of condemnation by sin over men. Apart from his atoning deed, every person was condemned in sin. But Jesus atoned for sin. He redeemed those who believe in him. Those who are in Christ by repentance and faith, therefore, are not condemned. Yes, Jesus deposed sin from its universal dominion. He dethroned sin. He made it possible for sinners to be saints. He revealed that the purpose of justification is sanctification. He doomed sin so that its claim and authority upon men ends at the point of personal faith in Jesus Christ. Now, verse 4 of our text sets forth the results of his atoning deed in these blessed words, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Oh, that statement is an excellent summary of what is taught in this 8th chapter of Romans. Sanctification is evidence of justification. Think of it. The righteousness demanded by holy law is actually fulfilled in those who walk according to the direction of the Holy Spirit. The law failed in its demands because of the inability of we humans to live up to its standards. Therefore, the law condemned us instead of justifying us. On the other hand, the gospel succeeded because of God's ability to make us new creatures in Christ, live in us by His Spirit, and accomplish through us what the law demanded. Every right requirement set forth in the law is experienced in grace. Now that righteousness is fulfilled in us. Notice, it is not performed by us, but accomplished in us. You see, salvation is not merely a heightening of our natural ability. It is a new creation. We're never sufficient of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. Now, God never intended that justification would be by faith and sanctification would be by struggle. It's grace all the way. It is faith all the way. We fight, but we fight the good fight of faith. The just shall live by faith. So thank God for the privilege of knowing Him personally through faith in Jesus Christ. Thank God for the freedom we have in Christ. Thank God for the Holy Spirit who performs in us all that Jesus has secured for us and the Father has provided for us. Thank God for the assurance that we're now the children of God. Father, words fail when we try to express in our limited human language all you are to us. We praise and worship you because of who you are, as well as because of what you've done for us. Oh, how we wish that many others may enter into the good of your grace this very day. And we ask that it may be so in Jesus' saving name. Amen.